I think one of the funniest TV commercials that I've ever seen was, I believe, a Staples commercial. And it was put out about this time of year several years ago. And as the scene came on, there were two very unhappy children who were shopping for school supplies. But with these unhappy children was a very joyous father who was bouncing and dancing with his buggy going down the aisle. And in the background, the music was playing, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." I guess parents feel that way when they get to get their kids out of the house for a while. I don't know how many students feel that way this time of the year, however. But school is back. Within just a couple of weeks, most every school in the state will begin once again. And kids will have to go off their summer routine back to school. And many times this time of year is characterized by buying book bags and getting ready and clothes shopping and everything that's needed. But this morning I want us to talk about something else that we need to prepare for at this time of year. As we think about going back to school, this is not just a time when you need to have all the supplies ready. It's a time when you need to have your faith and your spirituality in tune as well. In fact, I would suggest to you that for many young people, school is going to pose the test that will illustrate to you how well your faith is at this point in your life. So this morning, I want us to talk about some back-to-school tests. I want to focus on some things that you need to think about as you return to school. And for those who have long since saw your last first day of school, I don't think that you'll be bored in this lesson either. I believe there's things that we will talk about primarily dealing with students, but yet that we'll see as tests throughout all of our lives. As we think about these things this morning, one of the ideas that I want us to explore first is the test of character that you're going to have coming up just right away. As you go back to school, one of the things that you will have to decide on right away is how well you're going to do what you're given to do. Many times when a parent sends his or her student off to school, the last words out of the mouth will be, "Do your best." How many times did we as kids hear that? How many of you who are students now have heard your parents say that? Well, that's important. Parents need to encourage that. But there's something even more important. God has said to do your best. This is not something that just parents admonish their children, but this is something that God admonishes on His creation. In fact, the wise man in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 said this, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, nor thought, or knowledge, or wisdom in Sheol to which you're going." What he's saying is, while we are on this earth, when there are things that come to our attention to do, do them mightily. That doesn't pick up simply when you become 18. That's something that God expects of us at any age when we're old enough to understand that. And so when the time comes, we need to do that. So I encourage our students this morning to begin at a very early age, establishing your work ethic. The things that you are going to be called on to do in the next 9 months of the year, do them well. Not because your parents have said to, not because your teachers have said to, but primarily because God has said to do that. Now I know, sometimes you feel like slaves in school. And so that's why I'm hesitant to even use this verse. However, I want you to look at the heart of what this verse says. Paul is writing specifically to those who are slaves. But yet in this, there is a message for every one of us. He says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service, as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free." Paul is saying, when we are given a job to do, do it well. Do it as though God were the one who was in charge. because He is. And so as you prepare to go back to school, and as you prepare to start on those 9 months of assignments once again, remember the spirit with which God says through His servant Paul to approach those tasks. I guess any teacher hears a question over and over again, and that's, when am I ever going to use this in life? My standard reply to that is, well, learn it because it separates you from the savages. Let me give you a better answer. Learn it. Not so much because you're going to have to know this later on, but because it's a test for you right now. It's a test for you to do your best. You may never, ever in your life be called on when you graduate from high school to add X and Y again. You may never have to explain Hannibal's raid on Rome. You may never have to conjugate a verb again. However, the spirit with which you are pursuing these tasks while you're young is setting a precedent for your life. How will you use this again? It may not so much be the information, but the attitude that you gain in doing it will have a tremendous impact on your life. Let me talk about another test of character that you're going to face. And that's going to be doing your own work. Many times, one of the biggest temptations that school kids face is that of cheating. In fact, there was a survey done. It's been several years ago now, but I believe the statistics are still fairly accurate from it, where an organization very professionally went in and surveyed school students on cheating. 80% of best students in classes admitted to cheating to get to the top of the class. We're not talking about the lowest ones. We're talking about the very best in the class. 80% of them said that they cheated so that they could maintain a high grade or get a higher grade. The survey went on, 50%, and to me this is probably as much a frightening statistic as any of these, half of those surveyed said cheating is no big deal. 95% say that they were not caught. That's pretty good odds, isn't it? If you cheat on a test, pretty good odds you're going to get away with it. 40% admitted to cheating on a test. 65% admitted that they copied homework. The test of character is there. When you tell your parents everybody else is doing it, you're pretty well right at this point. But does that make it right? When you have the opportunity to copy someone's homework, when you have the opportunity to pull your cell phone out and to use the calculator on it when no one knows, when you're texting a friend to find an answer, likelihood is you won't get caught. But does that make it okay? I want to disagree with the 50% in this who said cheating is no big deal, because cheating is a big deal. And the reason it's a big deal is because it violates God's standards. I think there's a lot of times when there's a disconnect there. Because it's easy, because it's something we can do very readily, it's available to us now with electronic means. We tend to forget that when we do that, we are violating the standards that God has laid down. Look back to Proverbs chapter 6. We heard that read just a minute ago, but I want to focus back in on just a couple of verses. As we come down to verse 16, anytime God says He hates something, we need to listen. And God says here there are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes. And look at number 2 there. A lying tongue. God says, I hate lying. That's in any situation. But under the consideration that we're looking at this morning, when I'm saying to someone, I'm fully responsible for this work. It's reflecting what I can do. And it's not. That's a lie. What does God say about that? God says, I hate it. Look at another passage here in Proverbs with me, going over to chapter 19 and verse 5. Chapter 19 and verse 5. Here, God through Solomon says, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape." For those of you who are about to start school, I want you to think very hard about this. God says, "I hate lying." God says, "Liars will be punished." And so this morning, I tell you this not as a school teacher, I tell you this not as a parent, but I tell you this from God's Word, that He says, at a young age, remember my attitude toward lying. I would also suggest to us that this could very well impact with how you deal with later tests. Oftentimes, when we come up with something that works, we'll apply it to whatever situation it needs to be applied to. And there are those today who make sport of cheating the government out of tax money, who make very light of what they can say to their boss to get an extra day off of work. In other words, what was started as a child, what was started when was young, has continued to grow to the point where now there is deception, where there is cheating in every situation of life. How much better to say, when I'm young, I'm going to set my heart to do what's right. Because when I lay those foundations, the later test will be much easier. Let me mention one other test of character that you're going to face. And that's respecting authority. A school system is layered with authority. You've got teachers, you've got principals, you've got board members, you've got all of these different groups who have some level of authority. And where you fit in that affects who you have to show authority toward. Let me again take you to a passage that's talking about a different set of authorities, but yet makes our point to us. Peter says in chapter 2 in verses 13 and 14, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as set by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good." Again, we're not talking about kings and emperors here. Your high school principal is not going to wear a crown. He's not going to sit on a throne. He's not that kind of authority. But back up to the beginning part of that passage. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. The Lord says, one of the ways that we learn to show Him the right kind of respect for His authority is by respecting the kinds of authorities that have been put in place on the earth. And God says, show it to emperors as supreme. Is He saying they're always right? The king is always right? The president is always right? The governor is always right? No. In fact, when these things were written, some of the most wicked men were serving in the position of emperor of Rome that you can imagine. Your teachers won't always be right either. Your principals won't always be right. They're not going to handle the situation correctly every time. But that does not impact the respect for authority that you are to show any more than it impacts the kind of authority we show to the president when we disagree with him. God says, I want you to understand that that is a test, and I want you to pass that test. Rebellion to earthly authorities can oftentimes cause us to rebel against the Lord. So as we think about those tests of character, doing our best, making sure that we're honest in what we're doing, making sure that we're showing the kind of authority and respect for authority that we need to show, is test given at a very early age to let us know how our faith is progressing. Let me move on to another kind of test that I think you're going to face. When we think about test of friendship, oftentimes high school is going to be, and in elementary for that matter as well, are going to be some of the first tests that take place in socialization. Where here you are, many times, you are placed in a room with 20, 25, 30, 35 other people who you may or may not know, there's a test that comes with that. In fact, we think about what Solomon said in regards to friendship just in general. He says a man who has friends must what? Must himself be friendly. How you treat others will attest to how strongly you believe Matthew 7:12. Remember it? Golden rule. Whatever you would that men should do to you, do you even so unto them? I understand, because I have been around school kids a long, long time, just how strong this test is. And I want you to know that there will be times where you're going to have best friends. There's nothing wrong with that. There are some people whose company we enjoy more than others. We have the same interests. We have the same outlook. We have the same kind of personalities. That's just simply a fact of life, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, this does not mean that we are to shun those who are not in our inner circle. We may have our very best friends, but that does not excuse us to ignore all the other people around us. There are times when kids move into especially junior high school where they are very socially awkward. Sometimes they grow out of it and sometimes they don't. And so you may have a child who has great difficulty making friends. You may have a child who is so shy or who is so backward in some other way that he does not develop those good, strong friendships that others have. To our school folks this morning, I want to say something very strongly. How you treat that person may very well affect where his soul spends eternity. That's a little extreme, isn't it? Seventh grader having consequences like that? Yes. You may be the one who can make a change in that person. You may be the one who, when this child is sitting alone at lunch, you get up and you take your tray and you sit beside this child and you talk to him and you laugh with him. And it may be that he says, I wonder what makes this person so different from everyone else. And before too long, you may just have an opening there to share your faith. And thus eternal consequences occur. You understand what the Lord said? Matthew chapter 5, verses 46 and 47. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are they doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You see, this is an adult problem too. There are times when we get so cliquish, when we like our group so well that we want nothing to do with anybody else. And Jesus says, if you only love those who love you, what good is that? And I tell you, if we had been a first century Jew and he compared us to a tax collector, we would have understood the strength of the point that he was making. You're no better than the most lowly group that you can imagine. So let me encourage you, when August 9th or 10th rolls around, whenever your school date starts, don't ignore those who may need you. Don't ignore those who may not look as good as you think you look. Make sure that you're showing the kindness that the Lord expects people at whatever age to show. And certainly we could take this to the next level, couldn't we? This eliminates any kind of bullying and harsh words. When I understand the kind of outlook God wants me to have toward others, then I understand that my treatment of others is not only going to impact them, it impacts me. Because it's showing something about me. You remember what Paul said? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. He said, this is the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, these are the qualities that show your faith is growing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So I was thinking about making this point for the lesson. It hit me all of a sudden. A bully breaks every one of these. Every fruit of the Spirit is violated by bullying. Be careful. Because you're bigger, because you got more social prestige, because your parents have more money, doesn't entitle you to look down on anybody. And it certainly doesn't entitle you to be hateful and mean to others. And this is a point that we need to remember throughout our lives. When we do this, or when we sit silently and condone such actions, we are saying, I don't care about being what God wants me to be. I don't care that the fruit of the Spirit is not being seen in me. Start at an early age. Show kindness to everyone. Be a friend to everyone, because it may provide you the opportunities to help someone be saved one day. Well, in a lot of ways, what we've talked about can be wrapped up in this point. Everything we've discussed thus far can be summarized in saying that when you go back to school next week or week after, your faith is going to be put to the test. Your faith is going to be on trial. Look with me over to Matthew chapter 5. And as we think about the test of our character, as we think about the test of the friendships that we're going to make and show, as we look down to verse 13, the Lord says this, which I think can sum up every point that we've made. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are a light to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. How you act tells the world how much you love God. And I don't care if you're 8 or 18 or 80 or 108. That's the case. How you treat others, how you act toward others, how you act toward authority, how you act toward the quality of your work, how you act toward the caliber of your work is summed up in this passage. With that said, those attitudes will extend into every facet of life. The words you speak, Colossians 4:6, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. A lot of temptation, especially for young men in high school, to develop a mouth that's just not fit. That says something about your faith. And even more young ladies are having that problem, where there's a certain expectation that you're going to talk bad about others, or you're going to use these words that are going to shock and offend. It's a test of your faith. As we talked about a few weeks ago, what you wear says a lot about your faith. Shows how seriously you take God's Word. Pam and I had to go down to Birmingham for some teachers' conferences and spent the night there a couple of weeks ago. We went to the mall. I could hardly believe, of course I don't spend a lot of time in malls, so I could hardly believe what I saw young ladies wearing and what I saw for sale. You have a test. You have a challenge. You have a temptation. What you wear is going to speak how much you love the Lord. The kinds of events in which you participate. There are times when school-sanctioned events are no place for a Christian. And you may have to stand up and you may have to say, no, I'm not going to involve in that because it violates my standing with God. And that's hard. Because a lot of time those kids that are making fun of others and bullying others will turn their attention on you at that point. Because basically what your action is saying is, I have a higher standard. I have a standard not that I'm better than you, but I serve a God who I want to please. And that's hard at whatever age you're at. But I know the extreme difficulty, especially when you're in your teenage years, for that. You see, youth is a time to build solid foundations. Amidst all the fun and all the joy and all the carefreeness that you experience and you need to when you're young, remember that God will still bring these things into judgment. That's what He says through Solomon, the book of Ecclesiastes. Build your foundations. You know, it's a good thing when you see someone who's had a very ungodly childhood mature into a good, solid, faithful Christian. And my guess is I'm talking to a few of those this morning. I imagine some of you would say, oh, if you'd known me as a child, you would never have thought I had any interest in God, but yet you learned and you did what's right. That's good. But how much better is it when you develop those foundations in your youth and then continue to let them grow as you get older? You know a teacher is going to say this. Education's an important tool. It'll take you places. Much more, though, is the strength to put your faith on display. I tell my students every year, do your best, but if you can't pass, fail with dignity. And I would say that to you this morning. Do your best. But the biggest test you're going to face is how well you stand up for God. And I don't care if you are in a public school or a private school. Satan is there. And Satan doesn't take you off limits because you're young. In fact, he very well knows if he can get you when you're young, he's probably got you for life. Be serious about these tests. Enjoy the year. Have fun. But remember, the tests that you're being given tell a very great deal about how strong your faith is.